Baptist Church. If you're not a Pacific Baptist Church member, we'll forgive you. No, we're glad you're here, and you'll get something from the message, but this is important that we address just some things about the building, and it's not real specific about the building, but we got to get there. Chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. I mentioned this morning God was speaking specifically to the church at Ephesus about some issues. We won't even go into the issues. I mentioned it a little bit this morning. Verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. Actually, Jesus was praising those folks. Look at verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos. Each church had a different issue to be dealt with. Okay. And actually, some of them, several issues. And then verse 18, and the angel of the church in Thyatira. Then look at chapter 3 and verse 1, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis. Different issues there, these churches. Verse 7 of chapter 3, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. That is not Pennsylvania. Just thought I'd let you know. And as I mentioned this morning, the book of Philippines is not to the Filipino people. That's not who it was for. Verse 14. It's for everybody. Verse 14. And on to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Now, tonight, I want to talk to the Pacific Baptist Church family. Actually, the title of my message is, Who Are We and Why All the Fuss About the Building? Who are we and why all the fuss about the building? And when I say fuss, just you know, banners and kickoffs and all that stuff. And so we'll talk about that, and then we'll get home in about, I'll let you know when we're done. Let's pray. Father, we just pray you bless tonight and help us to have the mind of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I mentioned before our building, as I mentioned, is Jericho. We got to get through it to get to some different places. It's a Red Sea, if you would. It's a Jordan River, if you would. And so let me just say a few things tonight. I think we need to understand and be reminded, why do we need a new building? By the way, you look around, would you say that if it was just for us? By the way, it's not just for us. We're not a just for us church, okay? The church is not a museum for saints. It is a hospital for sinners. So if you're a sinner here tonight, we're glad you're here. Could just come and join us, because we're all sinners too. Okay, and if anybody here thinks they're a saint, I'll tell you that you ain't. But let me say tonight, first of all, and I've preached a whole series on this, we are a dominion church. A dominion church. Genesis, you don't need to turn there. I'll try to save you some time. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Have what class? Dominion. Over the animals and over the earth. We're not a church that's just waiting until Jesus comes back and just sort of going into hibernation. No. God wants us to have dominion. Now, I'll briefly talk a little bit about that in just a moment. Genesis 1:28. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. By the way, our church, we do that real well. Okay? I got all 8 of my children on the front row. Nathaniel hasn't even fallen asleep yet. Amen? Genesis 1:28. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Hey, let me look up here just a moment. Let me say this. This earth is God's earth. Let me say this. The United States is not the government's. The United States is God's. He created it. He created everything about it. He created every living soul. He created all the animals. This nation is God's. By the way, China is God's too. Mexico is God's. It's all God's. Now, it's been abused and misused, but this earth is God's. And what he told the perfect man, he said, listen, I want you to have dominion because this is my earth. We as Christians, now we can't take over the government and we can't go over the city hall and say, you know, Mayor Foster, you're out of here, because we'd all go to jail. But you know what we can do? We could tell as many people about Jesus, and we can broaden our stakes, and what we can do is we can have a little dominion right here in Long Beach. Amen. We're Dominion Church. Okay? By the way, it's something. I got my, and I'm sure I'm missing some. Just in a two-block area, 80 of our people live here. Two-block area. We're taking this area over. Just kidding. Sort of. Got my neighbor over here. Glad. By the way, Brother Richard just moved over here. By the way, would you keep your music down, Brother Richard? And if you're fighting with your wife, would you close the window, please? Brother, the dorm girls keep complaining. Met a girl this morning. She's been coming from Home Depot. Ryan, are you back there? You got a couple more visitors from Home Depot? Good. By the way, here's the rule at Home Depot. Home Depot employees, here's the rule. Kevin says if you come 3 weeks in a row, you get a dollar raise. Okay? Just kidding. You'll probably get fired if you even ask him about that. But talk. You know what, God? By the way, I'm glad we have several employees over there at Home Depot. And you know what? It's several employees, and they're inviting folks to church, and they're starting to come to church. You know, God wants us to have dominion all over the place. Go on. I occasionally go to Garden Grove. Actually, I've been going there twice a week, and there's a little sign there. It says Little. Anybody know what else it says? Saigon. Little Saigon. There's a little bit of Vietnamese dominion over there. You go to San Francisco, and there's what town? Chinatown. You go to certain universities, and they call it a university town. You go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that area, they call it Amish Dominion, if you would, Amish country. Go to Salt Lake City, and it's what? Who? The Mormons. Okay? Go to certain parts of San Diego, what do they call it? Sailor Town. By the way, Long Beach used to be a sailor town. You go to certain parts of even Southern California, they're very, very dominated or dominion, they would say, Catholic. Wilmington, we started a new bus route in Wilmington, and there's a lot of Catholic people there. Very, very, there's different parts here in Southern California. When I was in New York, I was in Brooklyn, and I was in a very, very dominion, if you would, dominated, if you would, Jewish town. Very, very, very different. And, hey, you know what would be good if Long Beach became Pacific Baptist town? Say, are you serious? Hey, it wouldn't hurt to try, amen? What is our church? We're not just a church for us. We're trying to go out there and reach as many people for Christ and try to help people and try to help the hurting. And try. Listen, that's why we have all the different ministries. We've got the Spanish ministry and the Filipino ministry and the RU ministry. We've got all kinds of different ministries around here. You say, why? We're trying to reach people for Christ to have dominion. Now, our new building will give us more visibility and dominion. That's the fuss. Be great when folks come in. Jill Hill, the president of the WANA, she said, you know, when people come into this area, the north end of Wrigley. And they said it's be a welcoming place for Wrigley. Well, I want to say, how about if it's a welcoming place for Pacific Baptistville? Amen. Yes, we're also a multi-generational church. By the way, Jesus said his church should be a bright light in the community. We're not supposed to put a bushel over the candle. He wants the church to be a bright light. When our nation was founded, it was the churches that were really the center of the community and the center of the activity. We're also a multi-generational church. I mentioned that this morning. By the way, it's working. We're getting what we're emphasized. I mentioned our church, we're physically 125% full. Is it very full out there on the patio? They're all sleeping. You know, one of the reasons it's so full around here? Now, one reason is we're trying to reach people for Jesus, amen? Another reason is we're having kids. Children are growing up, and they turn 18. You know, the average teenager, when he turns 18, that goes to a church, he says, forget it, I'm out of here. We can't get rid of half the kids we're trying to get rid of. They just want to stay here. By the way, that's what God wants. God wants us to have a church where the young people say, listen, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to get married here. I'm going to raise my family right here. Yes, we're a multi-generational church. To see the multi-generational vision come to pass, we must build our new building. That's what the fuss is about. Let me say this. We're a Great Commission church. Let me say this. A true Great Commission church. We're not trying to prove anything. We're just trying to fulfill the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, where class? And in all Judea, and all where class? And in Samaria, where class? And unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Our Jerusalem is here in our area. Again, as I mentioned a little bit ago, we're not a museum for saints, but we're a hospital for sinners. Everybody's welcome. To see more lost people saved, here in Long Beach, we must have our new building. Now, as I may have mentioned many, and I don't necessarily believe this, but the so-called church growth experts say 80% of a church, once it's full, and then you can't reach any more people. We can continue doing that, but I do know this. One reason we need that building is because we need to reach more lost people, and the typical normal, I'm not saying we're not normal, but we're not. When they come into a crowd like this, they get a little claustrophobic. Everybody wants a little elbow space. And then Judea, we want to see more lost people come to Christ from all these surrounding cities, Lakewood and Paramount and Compton and Bellflower and Wilmington and Carson and other surrounding cities. And then Samaria, our new building will be a training ground for future church planters and satellite churches. We have about 5 men, I think, that are serious right now. Others that are toying and praying with the idea about being some of these guys that will help plant new churches, Pacific Baptist-type churches. And we'd like to see some in East L.A. and Northwest Orange County and Fresno and Sacramento. Our new building will be the home or the mother church for all these satellite churches. What's all the fuss about? Samaria. Uttermost parts of the earth. We are active in praying and giving to our missions program. I want to thank the new people. Almost $4,000 came in this morning just for our missions. That's great. Help get these missionaries out. Help get the missionaries to the mission field. And, of course, to help with Team Cambodia and Team Samaria. By the way, wouldn't it be look up here just a moment. It's great that we have, there's a Kevin Nguyen in Mexico. Many other great missionaries in Mexico. But Kevin Nguyen is a great missionary in Mexico, seeing many people come to Christ in Mexico. Brother Rick Martin is in the Philippines. And there are other missionaries that we could think about tonight. And of course, there is the Adoniram Judson in Burma. And then there's Hudson Taylor in China. And David Livingston in Africa. I believe God has raised us up because we have a lot of Cambodian people to be the David Livingston of Africa. We can be that for Cambodia. I believe that. Our new building will enable us to better win, train, and send more future missionaries. Let me say number 4. We're a committed church. What kind of church class? Committed. Let me say this. I wouldn't pastor a church that's not committed. How many of you married men, you want a wife that's not committed to you? Not me. Honey, do you love me? Yes. How much? With half of my heart. Well, who do you love? I love my boss a little bit. Actually, one of our neighbors, I love him with a quarter of my heart. Hello. What do you think, guys? Do you know Jesus wants all of our hearts? He doesn't, listen, Jesus, and I wouldn't, Pat, by the way, we have the most committed people in America. This is a committed church. Yes, sir. We're a committed church. Matthew 22:36-37, which is the greatest commandment in the law, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. With how much class? All thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Oh, I'm glad when my brother, I was saved, he gave me the assurance of my salvation. I'm glad right then I understood that God wanted all my heart. Can I say something, Christian, tonight? God wants all of your heart. By the way, the missions emphasis is so good. You say, why? Because the missions emphasis gets us hanging around people that have given their whole hearts to God. And again, I can't share these illustrations enough. William Borden, those of us that we've had milk or cheese or whatever from the Borden company, the son went to the mission field to reach the Muslims for Christ. And he was wealthy and gave all of his wealth. Man, I'm thinking these millionaires that are going to the mission field, why don't they hang on to some of their dough to help them while they're out? They give all their money before they go to the mission field. You know what that does? It helps me to be more committed to God.
Yes, sir.
Mentioned C.T. Studd this morning. Mentioned before, Robert Jaffrey was a wealthy Canadian. And he went on, he was on a trip, and he went to the island of Bonaire. And by the way, some Moravians, my brother has shared an illustration, very similar, but the island of Bonaire. And the island of Bonaire were basically slaves. They were slaves what would happen it was the salt water would come up on the rocks, and the rocks would dry, and these slaves would scrape the salt off of the rocks and put them in these big containers, and the Europeans would bring their ships in, and they'd take all the salt and put them in these containers and ship them off to different parts of Europe. And Robert Jaffries went to that island and saw all of these slaves and the type of life that they lived. These were slaves living on this island. And God put upon his heart to tell these slaves about Jesus. And they said, nobody can live here except for slaves. I guess they had a way you can visit, but you could not live there unless you were a slave. And he went back home, and God spoke to his heart, and Robert Jaffrey, a wealthy Canadian, went. And by the way, they said you had to literally become a slave. If you want to live there, you had to become a slave. He literally went to that country, became a slave, so he can tell those people about Jesus Christ. That's commitment, amen? That's the type of commitment God wants from us. He wants us to be committed to him. By the way, when we get to heaven, that commitment, when we get to heaven, when you're in heaven for 60 seconds, there won't be one regret for any commitment that you've given to Jesus Christ. Just a little bit ago, I was listening to another story by Daryl Chaplin, and I never got this one. Just got it, a couple hours ago maybe. His mother went to the mission field when she was 50 years old, okay? 50. And I think maybe his father had died. I don't know what the story was. But she actually went to a different country than her son, Daryl Chaplin. This was their agreement. Their agreement was this. If he got sick and died, she agreed, because they're on the front lines in the mission field. They both agreed, if he got sick and died, that she would not go to his funeral. And he agreed, and they both agreed, if she got sick, he'd not go to the funeral, because they'd have to pull up their stakes from where they were. And she was sick, and she got 70 years old, had cancer, and she was dying on the mission field. And she called him and said, "Don't come to my funeral." And she said this, "If you come to my funeral, when you get there, I won't talk to you." That's what she told him. By the way, I don't want to talk to somebody that's dead. Amen? Well, I don't mind talking to them. I just don't want them to talk back to me. By the way, let me say this. Don't be afraid. You say, "Pastor, are you afraid to get up here behind the pulpit and encourage and challenge people to have a commitment to Jesus Christ?" No, I'm afraid not to ask people to have a commitment. Remember this. People will not be committed if you don't ask them. You never get committed if you don't ask them. By the way, I'm glad a Roy Adami showed up at our church when he was ready to get committed to Christ. Some of the wishy-washy churches, you come in as you are, you leave as you were, and there's nothing. Listen, all it is to make you feel good, and there's no commitment to Jesus Christ. This building process has helped all of us to be much more committed. Where our treasure is, our heart will be also.
Amen.
By the way, I've never been more excited about the future of Pacific Baptist Church. Never.
Amen.
Paul Harvey. How many know who Paul Harvey is? Paul Harvey, he just died, 90 years old. I got to thinking, some of you wouldn't like this. I'd like to live to be 90. I'm going to have to go to Dr. Thropay if I do that. Best years are yet to come. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together.